This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
We're back, live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
This offense will be calibrated with him in mind. We're going to build this thing. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. No, we're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next. I really look forward to challenging him and pushing him, as I said before, to continue to grow and develop.
Straight into my veins, Ben Johnson. Now, we've heard some good press conferences before. Them saying the right things doesn't guarantee a damn thing. But said a lot of the right stuff. That was Ben Johnson, Bears head coach, describing the process for implementing his offense, for guiding his young quarterback. Got the juices flowing for a lot of folks. And I would include myself amongst them at the moment here. We will evaluate how things go once everything starts up. But like what I'm hearing from the new man with the big whistle, I'm not alone here in evaluating the Bears in the Chicago sports landscape. Always love to get a wide variety of opinions. So in hour number two on this Monday edition, this President's Day edition, the evening show here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Let's go out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, with Clay Harbor. Ready to talk a little football. He is on social media at ClayHarbs82. Clay, what's happening, man? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. Just trying to stay warm. It was like 5 degrees out there today. Hope you didn't have to go outside for anything.
It's incredible, man. I mean, we're waiting for snow, and like my wife and I, our 7-year-old son, we're like, man, we are never going to be able to take him sledding again. Like, does winter still exist? And then now we got snow all weekend. We got below zero wind chills. So I was saying earlier in the show, we went up to Wisconsin yesterday because I don't ski. My knees are too bad for me to try to pick up skiing at this point in my life. But my wife and son did a little skiing yesterday, and the temperature started to drop before we got home yesterday. Today we got our roll bounce on. I know how to roller skate, so I was willing to do that. That does have my knees rather sore, though. Are there activities that you enjoy that maybe your body doesn't handle as well now as they used to? Because I know I got a couple of them.
No, I got a few, but I am right there with you, man. I got friends that want to go on skiing trips, snowboarding trips. I say, count me out, fellas. If you guys want to go relax by the beach, I'm in. But my knees are not made for that anymore. I cannot ski. I cannot board. So, unfortunately, I can't enjoy this cold.
Right. It's a different deal here. It's no doubt, man. And to have it be, you know, it's 5 right now. Temperature is going to drop overnight. I think I saw WGN had like a cold weather advisory until noon tomorrow to basically avoid being outdoors. And from what I can tell, you don't tend to wear socks. So, you know, I hope you're going to have your ankles covered up and prepared for the elements. If you do have to step outside at all, you're going to be prepared for that?
Oh, man, I wear socks. I wear the no-shows sometimes, but, you know, I can't wear those big ankle socks anymore, the ones that come halfway up your ankles. But that was, I make sure to have the no-shows on, keep the feet warm.
Yeah, I know. There's a certain expectation that comes with Clay Harbor in the public space for fashion that I don't have to deal with. You know, I could just step out there just looking like the football guy folks are okay with. I know there's expectations you have when you're in the public space, and I could certainly respect that. I do also, as I was referencing a moment ago, I respect a good press conference. Now, I know it doesn't win them any games, but I did like what I heard from the new head man when Ben Johnson got the first chance to address the assembled media. And I don't know what you've been hearing from folks you've talked to who've been around Ben Johnson. One of the things that I'd heard from multiple folks who'd been around him at previous stops, including Detroit, was that he wasn't necessarily the guy who was tasked with addressing the full team, with being sort of the, you know, the big voice in the room to lead everyone. Dan Campbell and others took on more of that responsibility in Detroit. So I've been, I suppose I'd say, pleasantly surprised with what I've heard from him in the public space so far as just kind of a personality and a representative for what the Bears will become. What have been your impressions?
No, I love it. I think that he's said all the right things, and the thought you just played right before we came on air, I think, was very telling. He's not trying to drop down his playbook that created Jared Goff, helped him to go from, you know, 5 years of basically mediocrity over there with Sean McVay to come over to Ben Johnson and be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. He's not dropping down that playbook, though. He created that successful playbook. He's going to build it back for Caleb. He's going to build it with Caleb in mind. So I love that. And the other thing you hear about Ben Johnson that I'm a big fan of is the first thing he says at his press conference is, I am going to delegate. He knows what he doesn't know. And he's a guy that's obviously had a successful offense last 3 years, top five offense, best offense in the league last year. He knows he's going to need to delegate to the defense. And the fact that he hasn't had that experience in front of the team, maybe, I think, could be, you know, a big deal. But in this situation, it's not, and here's why. It's because, you know, the head coach of the defense is going to be Dennis Allen. I had time with DA in New Orleans and I was with the Saints, and he is a guy that his voice carries a ton of weight. And when he's talking in those defensive meetings, those guys are going to be listening. This guy was a former head coach, been a very successful defensive coordinator, and we know Ben Johnson can run an offensive meeting room. He'll get the team right, and then DA is going to take care of the defense, and Ben Johnson is going to continue doing what he has done, taking care of the offense. So I think it's a great pairing, as well as getting Dan Rauschar in there with the offensive line. You know, I had some time with him in New Orleans as well, and he's just a guy that knows how to develop offensive linemen. I'm not sure we've had that in the past.
Yeah, I was really impressed with DA in Atlanta. I was there in 04 and 05 when he was just sort of breaking into, you know, starting to be kind of an analyst, not a full-time position coach, but like an assistant D-line coach when I was a D-lineman mm-hmm. with the Falcons. And he was really impressive back then, the detail that he could communicate defensive football with. And so I agree. He'll be able to just oversee the defense, and he provides some experience on the staff. And that tends to be a concern of mine with first-time head coaches, and more often than not, the Bears hire someone who's a first-time head coach. And for Ben Johnson, as successful as he's been in running that Lions offense, he's got not only Dennis Allen as the defensive coordinator, but he'll have other coaches and personalities on this squad that do have experience. Eric Bieniemy as the running backs coach, and of course, you know, having Richard Hightower returning to run the special teams. So there's guys who've been around the block as coaches here who I would imagine he'll be able to have an opportunity to lean on them a little bit if something does come up, you know, for a first-time head coach that might be a bit unforeseen. The combination of Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles, I'm really intrigued by how that part plays out, though, because personnel control will presumably stick with Ryan Poles, but he's going to have to shape the roster in Ben Johnson's image. What's a position group, or frankly, position groups, that you think should really be towards the top of the priority list for the Bears to reshape for Ben Johnson?
Well, I think everybody in Chicago knows the first thing you need to do is the offensive line. And I think a lot of that needs to happen in free agency, because looking at the draft, you have a couple tackles up there near the top. You have Will Campbell, you have Kelvin Banks, who I think you could take with the 10th overall pick if they would be there. Both guys are successful. They've had great careers. They're both young, I think, developmental guys. But a tackle, you know, really isn't going to improve you much right off the bat, because Braxton Jones, he's a solid player, because you're not going to have a rookie come in and start playing that much better than a veteran now, Braxton Jones, right off the bat. So I think they need to take care of some of the interior positions in free agency. And you know as well, Ant, just playing ball and being around it your whole life, that offensive line typically takes time to develop. Yeah, you'll find a couple of guys that can come in right away and pick up a playbook and pick up a scheme and be able to jump in and play as rookies and be successful. But not as often as you'll see, say, an edge rusher, a defensive tackle that can come in and start making plays. It's just the position, I feel like, is much more difficult to have immediate success, and it's more of a sustained thing over time. So I think the main thing they need to hit, in free agency especially, is the offensive line, get some veteran guys in there. Ben's got to get with Ryan Poles and say, here's how I envision this offense with Caleb Williams, right? I want some big 350-pound offensive linemen. Or he's going to say, hey, I want some quicker offensive linemen that can move. We're going to do some pulling, the stuff we did in Detroit with the ISOs. We're pulling guards. We're pulling tackles. So he's got to get with them and really explain to him what he's looking for as far as personnel is, so Ryan Poles can go out there and, you know, find some guys that fit that billing and hopefully do a better job than he has been of diagnosing talent in the draft.
Yeah, there's certainly been, you know, some misses here and there, and the development for the Bears is something that I've been kind of harping on for years at this point. When you draft players in, to have them, their skills continue to grow and be accentuated and put them in a position where they begin to come a player of perennial excellence, you know, if you would, from the time they've been drafted by the Bears and just continue to get better season over season. It just hasn't been a strong suit for this organization, not only at quarterback, but at a variety of positions. Clay Harbor, my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You can find him on Twitter at ClayHarbs82. And the space that the Bears are preparing to embark upon in evaluating the roster is not only the guys who are already playing in the NFL, but of course the NFL Combine is upon us. The All-Star Circuit's in the rearview mirror here, but then you'll have, you know, the private workouts, one-on-ones, and the draft will eventually come as well. What do you recall about this time frame that the college players are in right now, and, you know, how they'll go about trying to sort of ply their trade, make sure they're putting their best foot forward as the Bears and the other 31 teams around the NFL are evaluating them? I usually tell people it ends up being about a year and a half straight of football from the final season of college to All-Star games, all through your rookie season. It's about a year and a half straight where you're like nonstop football mode by the time you get through the end of your rookie year.
Oh yeah. You're not wrong there, Ant. I mean, you remember it. I played in two All-Star games, and then the second one was the East-West Shrine game. And then you have a little bit of time before the combine. But you're basically training, you know, that two-factor way, because if you're going to an All-Star game, you're doing some football training, but you're training like a track athlete for the NFL combine, because you want to go out there, you want to run, you want to jump, you want to lift the best that you can to increase your draft stock. So right now, this time for the players, they're starting to taper their workouts a little bit. They're cleaning up their 40-yard dash starts. They're cleaning up their vertical jump stuff, their broad jump. They're cleaning up all the techniques in these drills. But they're still getting some field work in, because they know if you're a receiver, you're going to have to go out and run routes on air. If you're a linebacker, you're going to have to do the linebacker drills, the bag drills. If you're defensive end, you're going to have to do the rush drills. So there's still the on-field stuff, but right now they're just finishing up, cleaning up all this stuff and getting ready for the combine so they can go out there and really make a little bit of extra money, make a little bit of noise, make these NFL personnel men see him at the combine, then go back and maybe give their tape a second look. But the majority of what these guys have done you know, it's hay in the barn. Your tape is what's going to do the speaking for you. But we all know there'll always be a guy that gets a ton of momentum from the combine, from his 40-yard dash. Those guys will go back and look at the tape and maybe give them a little bit of leeway on some of the mistakes they've seen because they were such an elite athletic performer at the combine. So this is an important time. And just as important as the All-Star games, the combine is a chance for these guys to improve their draft stock and really get in front of all the teams. And, Anthony, I think that's one of the things a lot of people don't know. The combine for an athlete is actually 3.5 days. Right. All people see is that little piece on the field where they're running, jumping. There's meetings, there's medical, there's so many different things. And you might have met with a team at an All-Star game, a team executive, maybe you saw a coach here or there, a tight end coach, a position coach. At the combine, the entire team's there. I mean, you have the GM in the meeting room with the head coach, the position coach, the offensive coach. The entire team is in a room, and you come in, you get to meet with all the players, all the teams. The team that wants you, they'll put your name on a list, and they'll bring you in, and you'll have 10 minutes to talk to with that team. This is your first chance to really meet with all the teams. So as much as these mock drafts are going around and people see these guys taking people where, a lot of these players haven't even met with the teams yet. So a lot of this really starts to come to fruition at the combine. It's 3.5 days of meetings, medical, and then the last little half day is that on-field stuff that everybody sees. So there's a lot going on at the combine in Indianapolis.
And it is a hectic whirlwind, the most tense job interview that you could imagine, from the physical sort of preparation necessary and, like you mentioned, the mental and emotional preparation that goes into it as well. I want to ask you about a couple of players in particular who intrigued me. And I'll start at the position that you excelled at tight end, where Cole Kmet, I think, is obviously a good football player. And I wouldn't say I've been harsh on Cole Kmet. I feel like I've been firm but fair in my evaluation of Cole Kmet. Some of the inconsistencies with the hands that I feel like are there at times, where he doesn't consistently extend his hands away from his frame to catch the football. He's certainly improved as a blocker, and he's a willing participant everywhere they put him, whether it's even been taking snaps directly from center at times in the past. But, you know, I don't see him as a consistent playmaker as a tight end. Part of that lack of targets, part of it, I don't know that he's an exceptional separator in his route running ability. So, long story short, how set are the Bears at tight end? Should they be looking to upgrade at that spot, whether it's in the draft or free agency?
You know, I think so, and I think there's a couple of guys that they could look at. I like Cole. Let me preface this by saying I like Cole. I think he's a really good all-around tight end. His exploits in the blocking game, I think, are very impressive. He's a guy that can hold the point, you know, on the strong side of formation. You can run ISO to him. You can run duo to him. You can run power to him. You can run zone to him. A lot of these tight ends now, if you're running their direction, you're going to have to arc release them to a safety. You're going to have to sift them backside to cut off the end. You're not going to be able to run the ball the strong side. And Cole Kmet is a tight end that can hold up and do that. I don't think he's been in a perfect system to kind of take advantage of his assets to where you can do the play action to his side. Now he can slip behind the linebackers, and I think he'll get better at it this year. But there are a couple tight ends that I think the Bears should be looking at. In free agency, I think Juwan Jennings from New Orleans. He's a guy that's played with Declan Doyle, I'm pretty sure. And he's a guy that, the Saints have an interesting tight end room because you got the quarterback that plays tight end. You have Foster Moreau over there. But he had a great year. He had over 500 yards. He was averaging 15 yards a catch. I mean, this guy can play. He's a big receiver. He was an undrafted guy, but he was fast. He ran a 4.5+ at his pro day. And I think he's a guy that could help you in free agency. But if you take care of a lot of your needs in the draft and in that third round range, I think the tight ends, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a tight end, they might have the strongest draft class this year, man. There's a lot of guys at the top, but I think around that third round range, there's two guys that I love, and I saw them both the Senior Bowl. Actually, I'll throw three guys that I actually love. One is Elijah Arroyo. He's a tight end from Miami. This guy's probably going to run a 4.4 at the combine. Remember this. He's 6'4", 6'5", 250, can run, but he has an extensive injury history. He has 1 year of production this year. He's had a bunch of injuries. So if the Bears get the medical at the combine and feel comfortable with that third-round pick, I think it's number 72, fire away, because this guy could be a big playmaker. And then Mason Taylor, he's actually Jason Taylor's son. So this guy is just an all-around tight end. He can catch, he can block, he can be a utility man in Ben Johnson's system. I really like Mason Taylor. This guy could play at the Senior Bowl. And then the last guy from Bowling Green, he led the nation in receiving as a tight end. He led all receivers. His name's Harold Fannin Jr. He's got a little bit of pop in the passing game, but this guy can just straight up catch the football. He's one of those big receivers, move guys. He can do a little bit in a run game, not a ton, but I think he's a little bit – he reminded me of a poor man Sam Laporta, and obviously the reason why that's relevant is because Ben Johnson obviously was in the offensive meeting room as the offensive coordinator when they drafted Sam Laporta high in that draft. So I think that's a guy, Harold Fannin Jr., that could kind of take on that joker role as a big receiver, big tight end that can just catch the football like Sam Laporta.
Love that. Certainly some of the names you mentioned there, Elijah Arroyo and others, for what they could potentially get done if the Bears were to pick them up and have an additional target, an additional potential playmaker as a tight end that would go alongside with Cole Kmet. Last guy I want to get to quickly before I got to let you run is Roma Dunze. And a rookie season as a top 10 pick would have had a lot more scrutiny on it if he wasn't in the same draft class and with the same team as the number one overall pick in the draft. But I think back to Kevin White's first couple of years with the Bears and all the scrutiny that was there on him for a guy who wasn't producing like you would hope for a top 10 pick to produce at wide receiver. I thought Roma Dunze had some nice moments, but I'm not blown away by what I saw from his rookie season. How do you evaluate it?
Don't say that, Anthony. Chicago fans are going to come after you, man. But I know exactly what you're saying. I felt like, I expected a little bit more. And obviously we know Caleb's a young quarterback. He's working his way through some things. They had Shane Waldron for some games. And you switch, obviously. And so there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of moving parts here. But Rome, for a top 10 draft pick, I expected more. And to me, I'm not saying this is a bad draft pick. I think I was even calling for them to draft Rome. But looking back at it now, you had so many receivers, Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey, Ricky Pearsall. You were so deep at receiver. Looking back in hindsight, 2020, I'm not trying to say I would have done any better here. But looking back, you could have used a guy like Jared Verse. You could have used another offensive lineman to put in there. But I still think I have high hopes for Rome. From everything I hear out of House Hall and guys I know, he's a hardworking dude. He's got the right mindset. So I think those guys always end up being successful in the long run. So I'm looking forward to seeing him the second year. But you're exactly right. The first year, I expected more. I think they could have done more with that pick. They probably could use it somewhere else. But I am excited to see Rome in year two. He's got a year under his belt. You know as well as I do. When's the biggest jump for a player? Between year one to year two. Yep.
That's right. Fingers crossed on Roma Dunze to add to that list, because the Bears could certainly use a jump from him, especially if we assume Keenan Allen won't be around for another season. I could talk ball with y'all tonight. We got to make sure we do this again, Clay. I appreciate you, man. Make sure you watch Clay Harbor all over Chicago Sports Network and certainly consume everything that he puts out on social at ClayHarbs82. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Ant. Appreciate it. Have a good night. Stay warm.
I'll do my best. That is Clay Harbor of Chicago Sports Network. When we return, there's something that does excite me about Ben Johnson and what he may be able to add to this Bears offense that I think we've been lacking. This football team has been lacking it. This town has lacked it for far too long. I'll describe what I mean next on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
To Swift. Look at Swift. Take it to the Washington side of the 50. Down the sideline he goes. And he's galloping home for the game's first touchdown.
There's your Devin Hester moment. You're really two plays off. And I don't see any flags on the field. That's the area where they've been getting going, the C-gap, Jim, outside and wide, and Swift shows off the great instincts, the cut, and then the burst to finish.
Appreciations to CBS on the call. Here are the voices there of Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, Bears and Commanders doing battle, and DeAndre Swift. That was not the only game where he was sort of the engine of the Bears' offense that ignited things for them in the second half of certain games this season, got them rolling. And then Caleb Williams, as a rookie, had these fantastic fourth quarters as the Bears were trailing by multiple scores and it seemed like all was lost. And then here came Caleb and the Bears fighting their way back into some of these games. And it was fun to watch that, despite the fact that they kept losing these games, some of them in rather dramatic and embarrassing fashion over and over again. But to have a rookie quarterback able to lead these comebacks and fight his way back into games, that was certainly a positive sign that he was able to do that in the midst of what felt like the chaos that was going on with the Bears at times. But DeAndre Swift himself deserves a lot of credit for those moments as well. And something happened in my household the other day that honestly made me think of DeAndre Swift a little bit. Made me think of his space within the Bears organization for being a football team that's been synonymous. When we think Bears and positions of excellence, You think about all the great linebackers and the Pro Football Hall of Famers that have been with the Chicago Bears over the years and the production they've gotten from the linebacker position. But then second to linebacker, and perhaps even above linebacker, but I think in actuality, linebacker has been the greatest position that the Bears have had in the historic franchise annals. And then running back would be right there, either on par with or just behind linebacker. All the greatness, all the sweetness, if you will, that the Bears have had at running back historically. And now we're in a bit of a dry spell here. And not that the Bears haven't had any running backs that have made plays, but, you know, even thinking of running backs who've consistently gotten, you know, awarded by the league accolades, you know, you can go back to the 30s or the Red Grange era and whatnot, but you don't necessarily have to go back that far. But just think of kind of the modern era, the Super Bowl era of the position with Gale Sayers in the 60s and all the Pro Bowls he made. Of course, the man who became the all-time leading rusher, the legend, Walter Payton, the guy who most folks, well, certainly a lot of folks, would still deem him the greatest football player of all time, and everything Walter Payton did in the 70s and 80s. The guy who I grew up watching most closely in my childhood, because, you know, the tail end of Walter's career was really the infancy of me even being able to watch and appreciate sports. But Neil Anderson in the late 80s and in the into the early 90s, it was like Neil Anderson, Thurman Thomas, Emmitt Smith. These were like the great all-purpose backs in the sport. And for what the Bears were as an offense in the early 90s, there was so much that was asked of Neil Anderson and playing through broken ribs and all this kind of stuff. And Neil Anderson was an excellent football player. And for like a moment in time, was just kind of the next great, the latest great Bears running back. And then there was a bit of a dry spell for anyone who was able to sustain excellence for the Bears as a running back until Matt Forte. And then you had that early part of the decade of the 2010s where Matt Forte was one of the most productive and consistent running backs in football. And now here we are. It's been a good decade since the Bears have had someone, an individual. Like there was like a nice season from Jordan Howard mixed in there somewhere. But as far as just having one of the top running backs in the sport, it's been a good decade since that room, that position, has had someone hold it down like that, just season over season, where you pencil in an individual player from the Bears who's just getting it done at a high level on an annual basis. That to me is what Ben Johnson can bring to this thing. It's almost like Ben Johnson would bring back the Susie Q. Because there's a bunch of Hostess products that are still on shelves that I enjoy, that I love, frankly. I don't know why Susie Q's disappeared from shelves when for a while it looked like the entire company of Hostess was going to go away for a little while. And the next thing you knew, before everybody was using the term shrinkflation, you had this shrinkflated version of Hostess products where Twinkies were a little bit smaller. Cupcakes were a little bit smaller. Ho-hos were a little bit smaller. You know, those little cinnamon things, I don't know if they're butt cakes or something. They got everything coming from Hostess was a little bit smaller, but they did make a comeback. And now Hostess is all over the shelves again. For some reason, the only thing that seems to be missing, and my wife brought these things, devil dogs, in here the other night. It's not even a Hostess product. Kind of struck me as like a Hostess knockoff. She brought these devil dogs in here a few nights ago. And for her, being from the Northeast, I guess devil dogs kind of a big deal up there. I'm frankly not that familiar with them. They're all right. Not that great. They're no Twinkie. They're damn sure no Susie Q. But that's my thing. Like, I'm a big Hostess product guy, like baked goods. I love those just for like dessert items. And out of anything that I miss, the Susie Q would be the main Hostess product. And I would, I would parallel that with the running back position for the Bears, because there's a level of excellence that we grew to expect from Hostess, and out of the depth of products that Hostess offers. And as great as a Twinkie can taste, as excellent as a Ho-Ho can be on occasion, as amazing as those cupcakes and the wide variety of frostings that can be associated with a Hostess cupcake, I don't know why. I have no good explanation for why the Suzy Q, of all these things that Hostess does well or did well, past tense, why the Suzy Q disappeared. I hope somebody out there can help me out. Hit me up on the text line if you want to, 312-644-6767. Frankly, you can give me a call, 312-644-6767, because I'm looking forward to seeing someone. Maybe it is. And Ben Johnson was with DeAndre Swift in Detroit. They got rid of him. So I don't know what that means for DeAndre Swift's future with the Bears. He is obviously a gifted open field running back. But I said it here on the station multiple times, as soon as the Bears signed him last offseason, the Bears need to know what they're signing, bringing in DeAndre Swift, because he's not some kind of consistent 20 to 25 touch per game guy. He's not someone who's going to be excellent for you in short yardage, but he is a playmaker. When you get DeAndre Swift in the open field with the football in his hands, he can make magic happen. After Shane Waldron figured that out, then DeAndre Swift's production really began to uptick, still in the midst of not having a representative offensive line. So I like DeAndre Swift as a member of the Chicago Bears, and because of the contract they paid him, I would imagine he'll continue to be with the Bears, at least for the next season or two. But then what else can they add to the mix? And can Ben Johnson be the coach? Can Ben Johnson be a guy that gets the running back position with the Bears back to what we have historically thought of it being, where it just felt like every decade the Bears seemingly had greatness, had excellence, had an individual that you could really count on to carry that running back position for several seasons? And they haven't had that since Matt Forte. And in Detroit, not only did you have, and perhaps David Montgomery would have had the chance to emerge into that if the Bears were just more well-equipped for him to be more consistently productive here in Chicago. But they weren't, so he wasn't. But he's gone to Detroit. You've seen consistent production from David Montgomery there, and pairing him with Jahmyr Gibbs. And they're the engine. That running back room is the engine for the Lions offense, with all the passing stats that they've gotten out of Jared Goff. Ben Johnson's use of the running back position has been the bigger engine and the most consistent element of that offense. Maybe he can bring that excellence, that consistency back to running back for the Bears. And yes, text line, I see you cooking. I know it sounds like the I'm Fat podcast. So shout out to my guys on the I'm Fat podcast. Love their work. Always enjoyed working with them here. Matter of fact, hope they're listening. Maybe they hit me up. Shoot me a text. Let me know what you think about my Suzy Q take, because I don't know where it went. 773 says Suzy Q's ain't got nothing on ding dongs. I don't know about that. Because I like a good moist baked good. And out of anything you're going to get from a degree of moisture from, you know, pre-processed baked goods for dessert type items, I thought the Suzy Q held that up pretty well. And no, I'm not forgetting about Raymond Harris, the ultra back. I see him working, 773. I feel you on that. But, yeah, Suzy Q, that's my go-to, and it disappeared. And for about a decade now, we haven't seen, there's been a disappearance of consistent excellence at running back for the Bears. And so when my wife brought the Devil Dogs in the other night, I'm like, you know what? This is fine, but it's no Hostess. Just like what we saw from DeAndre Swift this last season. It was fine, but the Bears used to be more than that. They used to have a running back or running backs who were capable of consistent excellence. And I'm hopeful that Ben Johnson can bring that, can add that, can return the Bears running back room to being amongst the best in football, because there were multiple generations, eons, it felt like, where the Bears were always that squad you could count on in the National Football League that were going to have some back or some backs, plural, who could just be the engine for their offense. And DeAndre Swift had those moments last season. Maybe Ben Johnson, with this particular version of DeAndre Swift, perhaps this combination can work in a different way than it worked in DeAndre Swift's time in Detroit. Because Ben Johnson hadn't been the play caller for very long at that point. DeAndre Swift out of town, bounced around a couple of different spots since then. Productive in Philly 2 seasons ago. Now puts together a productive season in Chicago as well, even though he didn't hit that 1,000-yard mark. But I do think there's a good opportunity here for Ben Johnson to get an enhanced version of DeAndre Swift. But will it be greatness? Will it be Susie Q level excellence? I don't know. See folks texting about the honey buns as well. Not mad at you about the honey buns. It's not necessarily my thing as much, but I like it. I'm not mad at the honey buns either. Maybe after a timeout, I'll see if I struck a chord here with Tyler Butterball as well. Because I see the text rolling in on this. I at least want Tyler's opinion on Hostess and whatever the Hostess power rankings would be. Because I'll do this when we come back. I'll power rank my all-time favorite Bears running backs. And we can also power rank our all-time favorite Hostess products before we transition into some baseball conversation in the 8 o'clock hour. Since apparently this has struck a chord with the text line. Hit me up, 312-644-6767. You can give me a call as well, 312-644-6767. Why has the Bears running back position gone the way of the Susie Q? And what is your favorite Hostess product of all time? And I'm Anthony Harris. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Harris on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It's not like he's had a cupcake.
That sounded like Floos, was it? Who's that talking about cupcakes? Is that Floos? Oh, okay. Even better. John Fox talking about cupcakes from back in the day, former Bears head coach. I'm Anthony Harris. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And my wife brought devil dogs in here the other night, and frankly, I wasn't familiar with devil dogs. I tried one. Matter of fact, I've tried a couple since then. But she was really excited about finding devil dogs, and my impression is they're just a bigger deal on the East Coast than they are here in Chicago, because Chicago is kind of the hub of Hostess, if you will. And I began thinking about a variety of Bears position groups that would really benefit from having a resurgence, because there's so much on this squad that could use a resurgence. And Ben Johnson's role with that Detroit Lions offense and their football team, the running back position, has been excellent for Detroit the last couple of years. And in Chicago, as one of the all-time great running back franchises, we haven't seen for the past decade here the Bears able to have any individual back just be consistently excellent season over season. So it reminded me of the Susie Q. So I was talking about the Susie Q in the previous segment, but we've had a variety of texts. The text line's been blowing up. I'll get to some of the texts. But also, Carly here wanted to talk about the running back position for the Chicago Bears. That is Joe in Granger. Joe, what's happening? You're on The Score.
What's up? I just wanted to talk about, I agree with you 1,000,000%. That the running back
about the Susie
running
Q.
back position.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the Susie Q. You're a fan of the Susie Q. I'm not. I'm not a Hostess guy.
Really?
But Susie Q's no.
What's your go-to?
Susie Q is coming back, though.
I didn't know
coming
that.
Back to Chicago.
Educate
Caleb
me.
Caleb Johnson.
Ah,
Caleb
I
Johnson.
Like it.
Yes, second round pick. It's going to be their second round pick. And he's coming to Chicago, and he is going to be a future Hall of Famer.
So, okay, the caller is Joe in Granger, and I appreciate that. Thanks for the call, Joe. I'm pretty sure that was not actually Joe in Granger. I think that was actually Alex Coombe, because Alex continues to tell me that Caleb Johnson is going to be a second-round pick and the Bears should take him in round number 2. I don't know yet. I got to see I mean, Caleb obviously has exceptional straight line speed, so he's going to run fast. He's going to be really big and really fast at the combine. So that's going to impress folks. And he is a talented runner, and he enhanced his creativity this past season with the volume of carries that he got in Iowa City. I do have some curiosities, let's call it, about how effective, how impactful he'll be in the NFL as a pass receiver. Now, there's potential because he seems to be a guy who's capable in that regard, but it doesn't come as naturally to him. But his maturity got better every year in college, and his all-around game got better every year in Iowa City. I'm currently under the impression that round two might be a little bit rich for Caleb Johnson. So I'm not here to say Caleb Johnson would not or should not get drafted by the Bears. And he would pair well with DeAndre Swift. Round two, I don't know, and I'm guessing Alex Kuhn, because he'll be producing for me when I'm back tomorrow night. Maybe we'll come back around to some of this Caleb Johnson and running back conversation then, because, I don't know, round two, I'm not there yet. I think Caleb Johnson's going to have to earn his way into round two. I know I got a lot of Iowa listeners who are thinking I'm kind of sounding blasphemous here in describing it in this manner, but I'm not there. I'm not there on a round two grade for Caleb Johnson yet, but maybe that's me just trying to make sure that I'm not being too biased in a pro Hawkeye sort of way. But Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, go ahead and hit me up if you got any thoughts on my Susie Q comp with the Bears running back position. We'll transition out of the football conversation we had in hour number two. Get into some baseball coming up here next, though, because, of course, Cubs are in spring training. They're starting up earlier than pretty much any other team in Major League Baseball. So let's get the latest out of Mesa. We'll do that next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.